Tonight we're going to talk about teenagers. I do not know anybody who is a young parent who looks forward to these called teenagers. Anyone here look forward to the experience called teenagers? What are the thoughts that you have about teenagers? They're crazy, they're rebellious, they don't listen, you have to talk about sex,
drugs,
alcohol, running away from home. I'm sorry? You have to explain yourself to them. All of these are the concerns that parents have about teenagers. When do we start raising teenagers? That's the first question. At what age does a child become a teenager? Energy-wise?
Four.
If you have an out-of-control 4-year-old, you're going to have an out-of-control 14-year-old. Most of us wait until the children are 10 or 11 years old to start disciplining them. The problem with most teenagers is that they don't know self-discipline. Any arguments about that? So they get themselves into these situations that they don't quite know how to get out of, and we expect them to know how to handle themselves, and they don't. They don't. Why? Because they never learned. Because they were never forced to. Because they were never encouraged to. Because one day we wake up and we have this teenager in our house. And we don't realize that it's been happening for 10 years under our nose. And we just didn't recognize it because their bodies haven't caught up with their emotions. The biggest problem with teenagers is hormones. You hear this time and time again. Now, there's nothing you can do about hormones, right? Right. I mean, other than taking Prozac or some dangerous stuff like that, there's really nothing that you can do about hormones. Move to Wisconsin. What's that going to do?
That's 80%
is on Prozac. 80% is on Prozac. That's because they eat meat. Yes. Yes, they're finding that teenagers are changing hormonally now between 9 and 10 years old. By the time your child is 9 or 10 years old, they are hormonally going through PMS, which is also called what? Puberty. Puberty is a lot like, for anybody who's had PMS or lived with somebody who has bad PMS, puberty is a lot like having that 24 hours a day for 4 years. Marahone. That's right. So here we have these children who have all of these hormones at between 9 and 10 years old. They're still little children. We don't recognize that they're hormonal. Why don't we recognize it? Because they're not supposed to be that way. They change from moment to moment, situation to situation. Any questions so far? So the first thing we have to talk about is the fear that we have about raising our children. In number one, we made a list. What do we want to teach our children? All throughout this course, we've been asking ourselves, what do we want to teach our children? What do you want to teach your 9 or 10-year-old about being totally out of control emotionally? You want to teach them how to control their emotions, how to express their emotions, what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. These are the things that we don't teach our 10-year-olds because they're still cute. It's still cute to throw a temper tantrum at 10 years old. Sometimes it's a bit inappropriate. But it's not a cause for major alarm. Now, when our 14-year-old does that, what do? Oh, my God, we've got a problem child. If you have a 4-year-old who's out of control, you're going to have a 14-year-old who's out of control. You can never start teaching self-discipline too early. Now, is the way that you're going to teach self-discipline to a 4-year-old the same as you're going to do with a 14-year-old? Absolutely not. So the first problem that you have with teenagers is that you never know what age they are. They can wake up in the morning and they can be a young adult. I call teenagers young adults. Why? Because when you know that you're interacting with a young adult, you give them a little bit more freedom, you give them a little bit more of your time, you give them a little bit more explained, detailed reasons. You give them a little bit more, yes? I mean, if you know that a 10-year-old, God forbid, is a young adult emotionally, at that moment you're talking to a young adult, you're going to take the time to explain yourself, yes? If you think that it's a PMS condition, you're not going to bother. Number one, because their attitude is going to be off the wall. Their energy is going to be off the wall. They are going to be off the wall. You're going to get in the middle of a sentence and they're going to walk away. They just don't have the concentration. So if you start talking about your teenagers as being young adults, you'll find that you have a little bit more patience with them because it means that they're learning how to be an adult. Subconsciously, it means that they're learning how to be a young adult. And you have time and you have patience for that, yes? So you have to determine what age they are. That's the first thing. Now, you have to have a conversation. So you ask yourself, who am I speaking to? they are going to go from being very young, you know, some of us have teenagers who, or some of us will have teenagers who are very young, you know, they act like they're 4 or 5 years old, and you talk to them and you're like, what happened to this person? This person woke up this morning, they were perfectly normal, and now they're acting like 4 years old. Any of you have you had that experience of your teenagers? Or of your 10-year-old? And you can't figure out, and your mind says, what? They're not 4 years old. They're 10, they're 11, they're 14. They should act their age. And you will find yourself saying that statement, act your age. And they can't, because hormonally, how old are they? However old they are. So it's our job as a parent to determine, number one, how old are they? And then to interact with them appropriately. So if you're interacting with a 5-year-old, it's going to be a little different than if you're interacting with a young adult. And it's your job to determine, who am I speaking to here? How is their behavior? How is their emotional state? How old are they right now? If they're throwing a temper tantrum, what do you do with a 4-year-old throwing a temper tantrum? Time out. Hide out. I know you're 14, but we need to take a little time out here, because this is not going to go anywhere. And if you're speaking with a young adult, you'll, of course, have a different conversation, right? So you have to determine in your mind, how old is this person that I'm speaking to? If you can teach yourself just that, the teenage years will pass without much upset. Now, are you going to be upset during your teenage years? Yes. Why? Because the kids are growing up, because they're making their own decisions, because you have absolutely no control over them, and because whatever it is that you've taught them is going to be in your face every single day. Every single day. If you yell at your children now, what are they going to do to you when they're adults? Young adults. They're going to yell. And you're going to go, what did I do, God? I did the best I could do. What did I do? If you allow your 4-year-old to yell at you now, what's he going to do as an adult? If you allow him to trash his room now, what's he going to do as an adult? Whenever you look at your child, you should think, this is a behavior that could carry on in teenagers. Is this a behavior that right now is cute, that one day I'm going to wake up and say, this is a cute? Or is this just a passing fancy? Is this something that I can let go right now, or is this something that needs to be addressed? You have to always ask yourself, who am I speaking to? What age is this person? And then you address that age. Any questions about that? So you've got 20-year-olds, you've got 25-year-olds who still throw 4-year-old temper tantrums. Why? Because it works. It works. If it continues to work, they're going to continue to do it. Just like if something continues to work for us, we're going to continue to use it. And when we look into our childhood at what is it that we use? I know for me, I used anger. Anytime I got angry, I could motivate myself. So as an adult, what do I fight? Anger. I got to get up to being angry in order to motivate myself. If somebody tells me I can't do something, I can do it. I can do it. Just tell me I can't do it. And like that, it'll be done. Do you want your kids to have to take that on? You don't. I don't. So anger worked for me as a young child. And now I have to untrain myself. How do I motivate myself without anger? So you want to ask yourself as you're teaching your children, what am I teaching my child? Puberty is going to get younger and younger and younger, unfortunately. Because of the good prenatal care, because of the steroids in our cows and the meat that people eat, because of the environment, it's going to get younger and younger and younger. So don't assume that when you're speaking to a 9-year-old that they're this dumb little 9-year-old. They might not be. And you have this whole conversation and the kids say, you don't understand me. And you're right. I don't understand a 9-year-old who speaks like an adult. It doesn't comfort your 9-year-old. You should be out playing ball and skiing and irresponsible, and that's what you should be doing. You shouldn't be sitting here talking to me about physics, even though you learned it at school. Because I don't understand it, number one. Number two, you should know all of that. At 9 years old, I didn't. So you have to always ask yourself, who am I speaking to? This is good even in relationship to ask yourself, who am I speaking to? Because at times in your relationship, you know, because of the way that it switches back and forth, you're not always going to be speaking to an adult. Any questions about that? Lies. What are the purpose of lies? The biggest problem that most people have with their teenagers is that they lie. Now, you know 4-year-olds lie, right? You know 5, 6, 7, they all lie, right? Why do children lie? Stay out of trouble. What do children want from you? Number one, approval. If they know that what is going to get them approval is not the truth, they will not tell you the truth. Now, what do we do as parents, usually, with young children? We just kind of dismiss it. Well, that's not the truth, and it's important to tell the truth, and this is the truth. What do we do with adults who lie, young adults who lie? We're not that permissive. You should know. I taught you better. I raised you better. You shouldn't lie. Not good to lie. You know better. I know that that's a lie. How can anybody win in that kind of a conversation? And where does that kind of a conversation lead to? It leads to an argument. And at the end of the argument, who's won? The child has won. The child has won. Because what have you spent your time addressing? The issue or the lie? The lie. The lie. Can you see that? At the end of the conversation, you have accomplished absolutely nothing. They're not going to ever admit, just like we as teenagers never admitted, I didn't do it. I don't know. Maybe they, I don't know. I don't know who did it. And the issue is kind of bypassed. The teachers hate me. They hate me. They just hate me. And that's why. That's why. That's why I fail, because the teachers, they just hate me. They just, I don't know why they don't like me, Mom. It's not a lot. Yeah, everybody remembers that lie. They just don't like me. By the end of the conversation, have you addressed the issue about school, or have you spent your entire time arguing about whether they're lying and telling the truth? Which? You spent your time arguing about the lie, because nobody wants children who lie, right? Okay. The way to deflect an argument is through two words. Two words. One is nevertheless, and one is regardless. The lie is not important. If they can tell lies, and they can get away with those lies by deflecting the conversation to the lie instead of to the issue, if the issue is school, if they can turn you around and have you all upset because they lied, they don't have to deal with the issue of school. And this is where you get manipulative adults who can take any conversation and switch it all around, and at the end you're like, what the hell was that all about? You've all had experience of that with somebody? At the end you feel like, oh my God, what did I do? What was that conversation all about? I don't even know. This is why. Because we get into the lie instead of into the issue. So the thing that you learn is nevertheless and regardless. If you can move away from the lie when it's not important, because you're not going to hear the truth anyway, you're just not going to tell it. It's a matter of survival. They have got to have your approval. They've got to have your attention. And if you want to deal with the issue, then deal with the issue. You can deal with the lie later, when there's not so much energy on it. The way that you get back to the issue is with nevertheless. Well, they hate me. They just hate me. My teachers just hate me. Well, nevertheless, this is what your teachers say. Well, regardless, this is what your teachers say. And when they start throwing up the when they start spitting out those horrible things that you did to them, and that's why I'm so messed up. Well, nevertheless, honey, your teacher says you're not doing your homework. What can we do about this problem with your homework? Well, you just hate boys, and that's why Daddy got chased off, and you're just trying to do it to me, too. And, you know, you're like, stirring. Nevertheless, regardless of that, what would most of us do at that point?
How dare you?
How dare you? Okay. When a child is throwing a temper tantrum like that, which teenagers are very well known for, if you can think temper tantrum, you can stay out of it. You can stay out of your two-year-old, maybe you can. Most people, some of us, can stay out of our two-year-old's temper tantrum. You know, you just kind of look at them and laugh and say, you know, that's a good one. That's a real good one. How's that feel? And they'll look at you like, what are you going to do? Never match their anger. What most of us do is we match their anger. They'll find that one thing. You ran off my daddy, and you're running off me. You do this to daddy, and you're doing it to me. Well, I'm not your son anyway. My son says that now. He knows now what adopted means. I'm not your son. I said, you're not. He said, no. I say, well, nevertheless, time for bed. Regardless of whether you are or not, it's time for bed, bud. Well, I hate you. You're not my friend. Regardless of that, it is time for bed. This is at four. And I have a wonderful child, you know? I have a good kid. And nevertheless, regardless of whether you're my son or not, It is time for bed. You're not my friend anymore. Nevertheless, it's time for bed. And I have to really control myself. Because the thing we want to do is match their anger. When you match their anger, who's in control? They are, because you are out of control. It comes that quick, Ingram. It comes that quick. And this is why teenagehood kind of creeps up on us. It's like, oh my God, what happened to my beautiful little child? What happened to the child that would do everything that I asked them to do? Stop shooting your bird. Can't match his anger. If he matches anger, it's over. He's going to use that one. And you will at times want to match his anger. Just because we think that the bigger, the louder, the better, the more in control. And it's not true. It's not true. If you find yourself matching their anger, what do? No, you hit the dirt. You do time out. Nevertheless, honey, I'll be back with you in 5 minutes.
I don't like this child. Oh, no, I don't like how this child behaves.
Never match their anger. If you find yourself matching their anger, it's time for time out. If you have other children and can't take time out, then they go time out. Nevertheless, I'm going to talk to you about this in 10 minutes. I want to talk to you about that particular tone of voice. As long as it isn't deflecting from what it is that you're trying to have a conversation about. The more you think about how children try to deflect these conversations away from the problem, kids don't like to be in trouble, believe it or not. Unless that's the only way that they get their attention, your attention. Kids don't like to be in trouble. They really don't.
Yeah,
but you don't want it. As a teenager with hormones like that, you can't have that. You can't have that.
But what happens to you is that you're reading your top of it. It's like, what's the first time it happened? You think that was terrible, but the first time was like the second conversation.
You're stunned.
Expecting.
You're stunned.
Your goals. You hated it.
You're stunned.
Like, you're not supposed to do that.
You're stunned.
So it was like a
that's a good thing to say, by the way, if you don't know what to say. I said it the other night. My son totally crashed his room. He came home. He went out. I don't know where he went, but he was way, way out there. I only seen him one other time. He was 4 years old. Tore the face off. Rude, his toys, my typical kid. Out of control. And I found myself walking down the stairs so stunned. I didn't know what to, I didn't dare touch him because my anger had definitely matched his. I didn't dare touch him. And all I could scream was, how dare you! How dare you do that in my home! I didn't know what else to say, and I had to leave the situation in order to even think about how to deal with it because I had no clue. No clue. And when I removed myself from the situation, he got himself back into control. And then we could have a conversation about it. Prior to that, there was absolutely no reason to have a conversation with him. No reason. Because there was no speaking to him. I don't know where he was, but he was gone. Frightening to see your 4-year-old ripping things off the wall. It was frightening. So never match their anger. The next thing is to be specific. Specifically, you don't tear things off your wall. Specifically, you don't throw your toys around the room. Specifically, you do your homework. Specifically, you do come in and be specific. The next thing is stay focused. And what does stay focused mean? Stay focused on the problem. This is the issue that we're dealing with. The issue we're dealing with is homework. This is the only issue I'm going to speak to you about. Homework. And the next thing is don't take their anger personally. I did too. I mean, I had just cleaned his entire room with him all day long, and then he goes up there and he trashes it. It was definitely a personal affront. I hate you, Mommy. I'm like, I'll get it out of here. I have this kid who all of a sudden I now have in a detention home when he's 17 years old. Military school. I better start saving for military school. And the kid's 4 years old. You know, when you have those kind of thoughts about your kid over one incident, you're in trouble. You better take a time out. So if you can think of them as temper tantrums,